Hello, and thank you for joining me on this tour of our exhibition, Tiny But Mighty, Displays of Human Ingenuity. My name is Samantha Lawrence, and I am the curator of this exhibition. To start, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation as the traditional custodians of the land on which we are standing today. I recognise their continuing connection to country, as well as their role in caring for this land and its surrounding waters over thousands of years. I pay respect to elders past and present, and extend that respect to any First Nations people joining us today. Throughout history, people have constantly found ways to overcome challenges and complex problems. Today, we'll explore how three tiny objects on display in this museum played a significant role in shaping the modern world we live in today. We'll dive into how people fed their families and kept cities running, shared their ideas and spread knowledge and truth. Crucial then, and just as crucial today as well. The tour will take us in an anti-clockwise spiral, starting on level 2 and finally ending down on level 1. It really doesn't matter which of the objects you start with, so feel free to follow your own path if you'd prefer. Object 1, half a miniature glass tile. This next object celebrates the artistry and creativity of the ancient Greeks, who really knew how to express themselves. They took their entertainment very seriously and used drama as a way of investigating the world they lived in. High up in the Mediterranean Identities across the Wine Dark Sea exhibit is a fragment of glass. Probably made in Egypt more than 2,000 years ago, it is the work of an expert glass artist. Even though it's not much bigger than your thumbnail, there is a lot to look at. Staring back at you is the face of an old man, well, half a face. He has vivid white hair, a wrinkly nose and cheeks, and the corners of his eyes look bloodshot red. His face is yellow, and so are his irises. Altogether, this makes him look quite unwell. If you lived in Greece in the 1st century AD, you would probably recognise this face. It was the mask of a leading character that would have regularly appeared in plays, known as old comedies. They were lively performances used to make fun of prominent people or comment on public affairs. Audiences would react by booing or laughing when the characters appeared on stage. Something audiences still do today when attending a pantomime or even watching political debates. The skill involved in making this miniature glass tile is extraordinary. It would have been a very difficult thing to do. A contemporary glass artist gives us some insight into how it was made.
My name's Charlotte Hughes-Martin and I'm a glassmaker. I've been making glass for 25 years. Looking at this tile, or Marini as we would call it, it would be a show-off piece for a glassmaker today even. It's a very labour-intensive piece, even just purely making the different colours of glass.
Marinis are produced through the careful slicing of individual coloured glass rods, often arranged in a compact pattern. You may have at some point eaten a rock candy or sweet with a word or pattern in it. By using extreme heat, the glass rods are fused together into one long cane, which is finely sliced into smaller disc-like pieces. It is only then that the final pattern is revealed. Here, the intricate face of an old man.
This would be a very difficult piece for me to reproduce now and would probably take 2 or 3 weeks with all of the modern equipment, and it would cost a lot of money.
This fragment tells us a lot about how ancient Greeks invented ways of telling and recording stories that still survive today. Now turn left and walk through to the Egyptian galleries, also on level 2. Object 2, a vial of grains. Our next object is part of the Pharaonic Obsessions Ancient Egypt and Australian Story exhibit. Standing to the left of the long cabinet, look for a pocket-sized glass vial lying sideways on a brown book. It's about the size of your thumb and has wheat grains poking out the bottom. These grains are over 3,000 years old and were found in a burial tomb in Egypt, but more about that in a minute. Wheat grains like these have been instrumental in helping us understand how ancient Egyptians sustained its increasing population. Wheat was a staple source of food, as it still is today across the world. It provided food, fibre and fuel for the millions of people living around the Nile, which was prone to flooding. Not only crop farmers, ancient Egyptians were also experts at managing and directing water, known as irrigation. While innovation and technology may have changed farming practices over the years, its foundations can still be seen in these few cultivated grains. But this is only part of the story of these grains. You might have noticed the book they lie on. If not, have another look. These grains were found in the royal tomb of the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun, probably the most famous tomb ever found. Howard Carter and his team of archaeologists discovered it in 1922. When they opened the tomb, they found thousands of burial items, including over 100 baskets full of grain, and exquisite items made of gold, including his burial mask. All of these objects had been left alongside the body of the dead king, so he had everything he needed in the afterlife. So how did this small vial full of grains from Tutankhamun's tomb find its way into this cabinet? They were donated to the museum along with a few other objects by the family of Australian-born Sir Grafton Elliot Smith, who did his medical degree at Sydney University. He became a noted professor of anatomy and an Egyptologist working in Cairo and London, and through his work was the first doctor to examine the preserved human remains of Tutankhamun, something he wrote books about. While the wheat grains connect Australia directly to one of the largest discoveries ever seen, they also highlight an important challenge faced by many museums today. Should objects that were taken by colonial collectors 200 years ago still be displayed in museums or returned to where they came from? This exhibit highlights some of these issues and encourages us to ask questions, as well as what we can learn from the objects, such as these small wheat grains. Now head out of this gallery and go down the stairs to level 1. Turn left when you get to the bottom. Object 3, cuneiform clay tablet. Our final object today is the smallest of three clay tablets, hung one above the other, that are displayed in the Ancient Cultures of the Middle East exhibit. The Sumerian people of Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq, had a flair for innovation. Some people consider them to be the ancient equivalent of Silicon Valley. They didn't have many resources, there was very little metal, trees or stone, but they had lots of clay. They used it to keep track of the goods they made and traded across the empire. The middle tablet is about the size and colour of a plain wheat biscuit, slightly barrel in shape. The tip of a reed pen was pressed into the wet clay surface to draw the wedge-like marks. The clay was then either dried by the sun or baked in a kiln. Thousands of tablets like these have been found that seem to record daily activities. The Sumerians liked to be organised and invented one of the earliest forms of writing, known as cuneiform. The tablet lists animals the governor of Adab, an ancient city that's called Bismaya today, would have sent to the temple. They were likely payment for the spring festival. It could have been a particularly good harvest, as it makes the point that many of the animals are fat. Or maybe it was a bargaining tool to make more money. The heavier the animal, the more it was worth. Temples were not only places of worship, but also financial enterprises, and they were very powerful. Everyone, including the rich, paid taxes to the Sumerian kings, which were collected by temple officials. These tablets are not that different from the receipts you keep when it's time to do your annual tax return. Thank you for joining me today. We've learned how people from different societies and cultures improved their lives by innovating, building on existing ideas, and learning from each other. These three tiny objects help build the modern world we know today. Human ingenuity is no small thing.